Well, we're continuing our study of the parable of the lost sheep. It's really an important parable in many respects. First of all, to be able to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who seeks and saves those who are lost. That's what I've been trying to stress in the whole study of this parable. But secondly, also, it is amazing the hardness of heart of the scribes and Pharisees that are mentioned here in this parable. Let me read it for you once again. Luke 15:1-7. It says, "Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he spoke this parable to them, 'What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." It's that last phrase that I want to try to speak about here this morning with you. Those who supposedly need no repentance. I want to just review for a moment with you, and you have this on the sheet before you, I think, where we have been in this parable so far. That first of all, Jesus' mission is to seek and to save that which is lost, verses 1 and 2. And that I took from Luke 19:1-10 and the calling of Matthew. Wow, what an amazing thing. And also Zacchaeus. Now, we looked at both of them. Then Jesus is the good shepherd, secondly, who seeks the sheep. He goes after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he finds them, he knows how to minister to them. We spent quite a long time with that. He seeks to deliver them from false shepherds. And Ezekiel 34:11-12 mentions this. And then that the Lord Jesus would watch over his flock, that he would carry them and gently lead them on. Isaiah 40:10-11. When he finds the sheep, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And I've spoken to you of just how much the Lord carries us in our relationship with him, even though we know very little about it practically, experientially, yet it is the truth of what the scriptures very clearly teach. Then we needed to see that there was joy in Jesus' heart concerning all that he would do for us as lost sheep. Hebrews 12:2, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. That we began to take a look then at his effectual ministry, that he saw the problem of sinful mankind and knew what he had to do if anyone was to be saved, which was to go to the cross. And so we've been looking at Isaiah 53, and we're going to be taking our stand there in just a few minutes. But we looked at Romans 8:32. We saw that redemption is particular, even though the general offer of the gospel goes to all mankind, and we should be thankful for that. And we should be those who broadcast the gospel far and near, as we've just been praying about in our prayer time. We see all of these things we've seen thus far, but we haven't specifically tried to deal with the 99, which is what I want to try to deal with here today if I'm able to do so. I want you to turn with me back to Isaiah 53 once again. We'll look at verses 1 to 5. The point that I have made in the past is that Jesus accomplished redemption for all of God's elect sheep, and he applies it to them personally. And others who think that they need no repentance will continue on in the wilderness. That's what I want to try to bring to your attention here this morning. Let's think about Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 1 to 5. It says here, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him," this is speaking about Christ now, "as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Now, in the questions that I've given to you here this morning, if you'll look at the first question here with me, according to the above verses, why couldn't the scribes and Pharisees rejoice in Christ's person, his ministry, and his teaching on salvation? I'm talking about not only Isaiah 53, but Luke 15, which I read for you, verses 1 to 7. Why were the Pharisees and the scribes this way? Why couldn't they rejoice in Christ's ministry, his person, his teaching on salvation in himself? You would think that given everything that he was doing and all the miracles he was performing and the teaching, which was with incredible power from God, that they would have been able to see this. Jesus' mission, that he was coming to seek and save those who are lost. Why didn't they see it?
There's different answers, I think, but it seems to me that it's just the desperate condition of man, nature, his fallen nature, that leads to even teaching intellect.
Yes.
That you can't see what is reasonable.
Very good.
How you can see that someone that's blind, given sight, and just overlook that as being enough.
Yeah.
It's just, it's incredible, really, but that's who we are by nature. That's something like that.
That's exactly right, Brian. That's the way we are by nature. David?
The simplistic answer is they did not believe he was the Messiah.
Yes.
By their sin, their pride, and all of that. Because it would mean that what they're doing is
yes.
wrong.
Yes.
That means they would have to change.
Yes, very good. Very good. They didn't want to believe in him as their promised Messiah. They couldn't rejoice in the Lord Jesus because they thought that he was not spiritually perfect or beautiful. There is no beauty in him, it says there in Isaiah 53, that we should esteem him, that we should desire him, it says here. No beauty that we should desire him. It says that they despised him, they rejected him. That they didn't want to believe, as David was just saying, that he was the Son of God or their promised Messiah. And they didn't want to believe that they needed the repentance which Jesus was calling them to. So then, as we look at Isaiah 53 here, let me ask question number 2. Is Christ's redemption general then or particular according to these verses 2 to 5 in Isaiah 53? Has Christ borne the griefs and carried the sorrows of those who do not esteem him and who will hold to their own righteousness? Now, I've worded that in a very particular way because obviously Christ has come into the world to save sinners, and we're all sinners by nature. And so he died for sinners, and we need to believe that with all of our heart, no matter how bad they are in their sin. But in the case of the scribes and the Pharisees, we have a very unusual set of men who were doing something which was really cutting themselves off from believing in Christ. And we need to get to the bottom of this here this morning, what that was. And the way that we do it is to see that Christ's redemption is particular and particularly applied to those particular persons who know themselves to be sinners. They're going to be the ones that look to Christ in faith to bear their griefs and carry their sorrows. So I want you to see how it's worded here, that it's particular. Christ's redemption is particular to those who esteem Him stricken and smitten by God for them. Do you see that? That's who Christ died for. That's who Christ died for. He died for sinners, but in the way it's worded here, we see that it's very particular because it says here, they see Him as wounded for their transgressions, bruised for their iniquities, and they believe that the chastisement for their peace was upon Him at the cross. And so they come to know that by His stripes that they are healed. So Christ's redemption, I'm trying to point out to you here, is only particular to any person if they believe in Him. Otherwise, it's not applied to them. That's what I want you to see here. It's not applied to them unless they esteem Him, unless they see Him as beautiful, unless they personally believe in Him for themselves. And so what I've said here in the second point that we're looking at here today is that the 99 sheep actually belong to the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, this may be something that you really haven't thought about before, but I want you to notice the wording of the parable. The wording of the parable is just really quite particular about them. And I don't think that we necessarily see it right away when we read the parable. But when you read the parable, it says that they drew near to Him, the scribes, or the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Him, 15:1, to hear Him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained. This man receives sinners and eats with them. So the issue in this parable is Jesus associating with sinners. Do you see that? That's the reason why Jesus gave this parable here. They were complaining when they saw that He was eating with sinners, that He was receiving sinners. So the question that I have for you, question four, is do you think that the scribes and Pharisees saw themselves as sinners who needed to repent? What do you think?
No.
Well, I don't think they did. I think that they thought of themselves as just men who needed no repentance. And really, that's the reason why Jesus worded things in this parable the way that He did. Such an unusual thing. The way that He worded here, the way that He said it. The reason that Jesus told this parable was because the Pharisees and the scribes also were spiritual shepherds too. But they were false shepherds. This is what I want you to see. And Jesus was continually having to confront them because they saw themselves as righteous men and they saw Him as a sinner. And that He thought and spoke of Himself as the Son of God, coming to them with this powerful teaching that salvation was to be found only in Him. They didn't like this at all. So question five, how can we conclude that the flock of 99 sheep that Jesus mentions in this parable are actually those who He, Jesus, leaves in the wilderness? What does it mean that He leaves the 99 in the wilderness? Doesn't He care about them? Why doesn't He seek them? Well, it says that they need no repentance, supposedly. But the question that that I have here, and the point I'm trying to make, is in relation to the Pharisees and the scribes who believed in salvation by the works of the law. Do you see that? Do you understand that this was the issue with them? They really thought that they were righteous because they were keeping God's law. They didn't need to repent. They had dealt with their own sins in their own way, which is to just try to justify themselves in the sight of God. The question that I have then, in light of the fact that the 99 don't need repentance, we need to start seeing something about these 99 and their shepherds, their false shepherds. And so question 6 that I have for you here is this: what was the greatest sin that these Pharisees and scribes and all that followed them and believed in them were guilty of?
That the works of Jesus were done by Satan.
Wow, that's good. That's
I'm not sure that's what you were going for, but it's what I
think. It went beyond what I was going for, but that's okay. That's okay. And they did say that at various points, and they inferred it at many, many other points, and they opposed him openly, publicly, and vehemently at many points.
Did they think they were part of the 99?
I do. That's good. I think that's how they saw themselves, but they also were teaching others in that same way, so that when Jesus came to them, and he was saying to them, "This is what I'm doing. I'm come to seek and save that which is lost. I want you to see that this is what you are not doing. You know, you Pharisees and scribes." And so here's these 99. They're in the wilderness. And in the parable, it's very interesting that when Jesus finds a sheep and when he brings it back, it says he lays it on his shoulders and he carries it home. Is the way that it's worded there in the parable. And so what I'm trying to do is to bring a contrast between the wilderness and home. In other words, Jesus leaves them in the wilderness, but he leaves them there for a particular reason. And the reason is what we've been discussing here, is that they don't believe that they need him. And even worse, they do not want him. They don't see him as the beautiful Savior that he is. And so this is the conclusion that I came to as I studied the parable myself, and I'm hoping that you'll come to that same conclusion, that the 99 sheep actually belong to the scribes and the Pharisees. They're the ones who think that they need no repentance, and Jesus speaks to them himself in that way. He posits the truth according to them, according to what they themselves believe. Do you see that? That's what he's doing here. It's really a remarkable thing. The greatest sin that they were guilty of was not believing that they needed to be found and brought into the fold of the Lord Jesus and become his disciples. But he will go on, Jesus will, and seek and save the one sheep who knows that it is lost and who knows that it cannot save themselves. So these were the sinners who were drawing near to Jesus to hear him, as it says in verse 1. So question 7 that I have for you here is, what is the rebuke which Jesus is giving them in relation to his own leaving the 99 sheep in the wilderness and going after the one who is lost? And I've answered that pretty much already for you, that the shepherd leaves them in the wilderness. He's speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes, saying this is what they should be doing, going out looking for lost sheep. And to do so, they would have to associate with sinners. They would have to leave their supposedly safe flock who followed their teachings and go and deliberately look for sinners to bring the truth of salvation from sin to them. Now, question 8 then that I have for you is, why wouldn't the Pharisees and the scribes want to do this? And perhaps you already know that. Perhaps we've already answered it. They didn't want to do it, did they? Why wouldn't they want to do it? Why wouldn't they want to seek lost sinners?
Matthew 23:15 brings, I mean, they're not seeking them, they're seeking to destroy them. Is that the meaning?
Yes.
Matthew 23:15 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you can pass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself."
Yes.
They're not seeking to save anyone, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yes, very good. Very good, Ron. That's excellent. That's exactly the way that they were looking at things.
Probably their greatest. I mean, you could say there's many things that would be, like you asked, what is the greatest sin? And they're destroying the souls of those that are seeking the Lord.
Amen.
If they're coming to church and seeking the Lord, they're not pointing the way to Jesus.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's something that they wouldn't want to do because they would then have to acknowledge Jesus' mission, which was to come and to seek and to save that which is lost. So Jesus was saying through this parable, what? He's saying, thirdly, that all men need to repent. And it's hard for us to see that at first because of the way the last phrase is worded, and maybe we haven't thought of it that way before. But there are many people out there around us who are sheep, and some of them realize that they're sinners, and other people do not. Some people need to be brought to conviction of sin, and we can help that by sharing the law with them. But most of all, we need to be able to share the Lord Jesus and his mission and ministry and the success of it. You know, that when Jesus came into the world, he came to save sinners. As the Apostle Paul said, the great Apostle said, when he was a sinner, of which I am chief, and he worded it, I am chief, and I'm the greatest of sinners. But there's so many people out there as well who trust in their own righteousness. Now let me ask this question then in the parable. Jesus says, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." And we need to ask the question, it really begs the question, doesn't it? Are there any just persons in the world who need no repentance? There isn't, except for one, and that's Jesus. But all the rest of us are sinners who need the grace of repentance and then to exercise repentance. And that's what we need to see from this. It's really kind of hard for us, like I said, to see that from this parable at first, unless we understand these 99 sheep as belonging to the scribes and the Pharisees. In other words, those men thought that these sheep were safe. So Jesus is saying, but really, there's one that's on the mountains out in the wilderness. I'm going to go and find him. And I'm going to bring him back. I'm going to lay him on my shoulders. I'm going to bear his burden of sin at the cross, very particularly for him, so that he can very particularly come to know me. And all these 99 that you think are safe, you think that they're just persons who need no repentance, they really need me as well. They really need the truth that I've come to bring, and they need my death at the cross, which you men are going to instigate here in the future. That's what he's beginning to confront them over here. And so in my concluding statements about the meaning of this parable, I've left them on there on the sheet so that you'll be able to take it and look it over again if you want to. Notice that Jesus says, "Which man of you having 100 sheep?" So he's posing this question to the Pharisees and scribes, and he's saying to them, "Which one of you would not do this with your own sheep?" So the Pharisees and the scribes were posited by Jesus in this parable as having their own sheep. And these sheep of theirs, all 99 of them, are spoken by Jesus as being, according to his description of them, 99 sheep, or persons who need no repentance. That is, that if they saw one of their own 100 sheep lost and wandering away, that they should leave the 99 in the wilderness and search for a lost one. But actually, they would leave them where they were. And where were they? They were together as a flock of sheep in the wilderness. The Pharisees and the scribes thought the 99 were safe. And the reason that they thought that they were safe was because they believed that they were just persons who needed no repentance. But really, they needed salvation, the salvation that the Lord Jesus alone could bring to them. So that's our study for today. And I wish we had more time to go a little farther even, but we don't. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for this study and thank you for the way that Jesus worded this parable so that we can see and understand and realize that all men need to come to repentance. And if people don't repent, that they will perish, as it says in Luke 13, verses 1 to 9. And so we pray that you will help us to be those who help you in seeking for lost sheep and presenting the gospel to them concerning your finished work, your perfect person, and your love for sinners, that you would find them and carry them on your shoulders and bring them to salvation and to the church, into your church. We pray that you will bless us now as we think about these things. Help us to be good witnesses to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.